We're here today with Roy Lee Lindsay, Executive Director of OK Pork. And Roy Lee, give us just kind of an update on the legislative session going on at the state capitol. Where are we at right now?
Well, we're in the stretch of the session where bills are heard in the opposite houses. So House bills are now being heard in Senate committees. Senate bills are now being heard in House committees. We're in the second week of that process, or just wrapped it up today, really. Wrapped up the second week of that process. It's two more weeks of committee work in the House and the Senate, and then they'll go back to full body work where all House bills have to be heard in the Senate and vice versa. The next real deadline is the 11th of April. That's the deadline for bills to be out of committees in the opposite house, if you will. And then following that would be April 25, is all bills have to be heard and approved by the full opposite body, if you will. So lots going on. The ag committees didn't really meet this week. They didn't meet last week either. And so Monday is a big day. We've got House and Senate ag committees meet Monday. Lots of stuff still pending, lots of things still working its way through the system. And we'll be watching. A lot of that's cleanup language. There are bills that are important to many of the different organizations that are out there. And so we talk to our friends and see what they need help with, and they do the same. And we'll really be engaged, I think, again on Monday with bills coming through, coming out of the ag committees.
Mm-hmm. So aside from all of that, there is one bill that you guys are kind of excited about right now. It's managed to kind of fly under the radar, it seems. But now you're kind of out there talking about it with anticipation that Governor Stitt will receive this bill and actually sign it. Tell us a little bit about this bill.
Sure. House Bill 2373 will create caps on non-economic damages in ag nuisance lawsuits. Sets the caps at $250,000 or three times the actual damages that are awarded in any nuisance case, whichever's greater. And this is really kind of a response on our part to what we're seeing in North Carolina, lawsuits against major integrators, farms that have never had complaints filed against them, have complied with all the laws of the state of North Carolina for 30 plus years, suddenly are being sued as a nuisance, and someone trying to grab just humongous jury verdicts in terms of punitive damages. And what we see is happening is the folks that contract with the integrators, we're not suing the farmer, the guy that's taking care of the pigs every day, we're suing the integrator, the company that owns the pigs themselves, because they have more money. And all that really ends up happening here is if they're successful in their lawsuit, the company says, I can't afford to keep pigs on your side anymore, and they take their pigs away. And now we've got a farmer who's done everything the way the law says he's supposed to do it for the last 30 years. Now he doesn't have pigs in his farm, and how does he get paid and earn a living? We passed this bill through the House of Representatives several weeks ago. It passed 88-7 off the House floor. We passed it out of the Senate Judiciary Committee last week and was heard on the floor this morning, passed 39-7. So now there's some procedural things they have to do in terms of getting it ready to present to the governor. But by this time next week, it'll be on the governor's desk, and he'll have about a week to act on it. So we'd expect to know in the next 2 weeks if the governor's going to sign it. We certainly hope that he will. We don't know of any reason why he shouldn't. So we're optimistic that that will happen. But this was an effort that the Pork Council brought forward, and we shared with our friends in agriculture. And the other ag groups in the state were all 100% behind what we were doing. From you name the group, they signed on to help us support this. I'm not going down the list. I'll forget somebody, and I don't want to do that. But we also had support from the business community for what we were doing. Tremendous victory, if you will, for agriculture in the state of Oklahoma to help protect us long term from kind of what we're seeing in North Carolina. Now we get over the next hurdle and get the governor to sign it here in the next 10 days, 2 weeks, and truly will be a good day for Oklahoma agriculture.
Are you aware of any cases like that, similar to this, here in Oklahoma?
Not aware of anything that's been filed at this time. And that was part of what we were trying to do, was get in front of that. The legislature historically is very reluctant to engage in legislation that would impact current litigation. So we wanted to get this this issue on the governor's desk, if you will, get it signed and into law before there was litigation pending. But they've been working on these cases for years in North Carolina. They're just now coming to trial. Mm-hmm. is what's happening. We've seen similar actions in Missouri and Iowa, Illinois, Indiana occasionally. So this idea of nuisance lawsuits is not new, and this just kind of puts some additional strength, if you will, into our law. In some of the cases in North Carolina, we saw where the actual damages awarded, meaning the loss of property or the loss of value of your whatever, were relatively small. Maybe $65,000 was the actual damage, if you will. And then the jury turned around and awarded $12.5 million in punitive damages. I mean, I just don't know how you get from $65,000 is what you're out, and suddenly not only are you entitled to $65,000, you're also entitled to $12.5 million. And that's what this law will prevent, is it'll prevent those kinds of verdicts.
You know, at Oklahoma Youth Expo this year, there was a disease outbreak, and we talked about that in a different conversation. But I know that the feral hog situation out there, that is also a disease risk that a lot of people don't often think about, is, you know, if feral hogs do arrive on a farm, they can transmit any diseases they might have to pigs there. So is there anything going on right now? I know that the legislature continues to talk about feral hog problems here in the state. Is there anything going on with that?
I think there are several things going on. One is there was some new money on feral hogs in the Farm Bill, some new money out of USDA to try some pilot programs, and Conservation Commission and our conservation districts are all sitting down trying to figure out what's the best way to implement how to use those dollars. We'll be working over the next 30 to 60 days to kind of put a plan together for how that might work. I think we've seen legislation. I think Representative Grego has a bill that would allow county conservation districts to purchase some of the electronic hog traps, where you set the trap out and you monitor it on your cell phone, and when there's enough pigs in it to make it worth your while, you spring the trap and catch them. The district's going to be able to rent those out to the folks that live in their district so that they'll repay for themselves. But right now, the districts don't have the authority to buy that kind of equipment with their dollars. So there's a bill that would do that. There's a bill out there clarifying, you know, exactly what is a feral hog and what the definition of a feral hog is. I would have thought most of us had that definition figured out by now, but we're going to clarify that. The other, always looking for things that we can do that help us limit the feral hog population. Mm-hmm. And so there's never a shortage of bills introduced that deal with feral hogs, and this year's not any different.
On one final note, looking kind of nationwide here, you know, in the news, Green New Deal, you know, failed the Senate vote that they had on that. Probably fair to say, with as much, you know, rallying that the Democrat Party is doing, this bill in one form or another is going to show back up again at some point in time. But right now, in a previous discussion before we turned on the mic, you're only giving this cursory attention, as you said, and it's not a big threat to agriculture as of right now, you think?
Well, I mean, I think you saw this week they brought it up for a vote and it can't get through the Senate. So as long as the Republicans control the Senate, there's no chance in the world that they're going to vote for the package that the House Democrats and that many of the Democratic candidates for governor, or not for governor, for president, are pushing. So, you know, the idea that we're going to see this, you know, Green New Deal pop up tomorrow and it's going to pass and now we're going to be stuck with it, I think is a stretch, if you will. I don't see any way they can do that until after the 2020 election, and then they're going to be dependent on did they get enough seats to turn the Senate and to keep the House, if you will. If they don't keep the House and they don't turn the Senate, then it's not likely to go anywhere. As long as the House and the Senate are split, I don't see the Green New Deal going anywhere, you know, through Congress, if it will. And then you add in the fact that, let's suppose for some reason the Senate did pass it, I don't believe there's any chance in the world that President Trump's ever going to sign it. And so as long as he's president, I think there's limited opportunity for it to really go anywhere. So I don't think there's anything can happen with it really until you get to 2021. I think it's a stump speech, if you will. You've got all of these newly elected congressmen and women that are stumping and trying to build their base. And the simple truth is the election is not that far away in terms of all these folks will be out campaigning heavily 12 months from now. We'll be neck deep in presidential politics in the next, it'll probably be this fall when it really picks up, but by 6 months from now, we'll be neck deep in presidential politics, and the Democrats have to run. You know, 2 years ago, we saw that you had 16 Republican candidates or whatever it was for president and three Democrats. You're going to see the opposite of that, I think, in the 2020 election. And the farther left they run, the more red meat they give to the Republican base on the far right. And I don't know that, you know, the farther left they go, I think the less likely it is that they can beat President Trump in 2 years even. So I think the politics of it today, whether you think the policy's good, bad, or otherwise, I just think the politics of it today say it's not likely to happen until you get to 2021, 2022. I mean, I think we're years down the road before any of that could actually become a reality, just given the makeup of Congress and who's in the White House.
The Green New Deal, most people will probably recognize as having sweeping environmental reforms and things like that. How exactly, if passed right now, and I'm sure it's as much of a shell of a bill that it really is. There's not a lot of detail that's really been added to it. But if passed right now, how would that impact agriculture? Hogs specifically.
Yeah, I don't know that I don't know that we have enough specifics about what they're talking about for us to talk intelligently about what the impact of the pork industry would be. But what you know is that they're talking about taking the entire economy of the United States and really kind of the economy of the world and turning it upside down. Let's move away from petroleum, you know, natural gas, coal. Let's move away from fossil fuels. Let's move to something that's altogether different. And you think about infrastructure to do that. What does it take to build infrastructure to do that? What does it take to transition your equipment from diesel engines to electricity? Or what is it, you know, what are all those pieces that have to happen for you to be able to do that? And I just think it's a dream at this moment for some. You know, I couldn't begin to tell you what I think the ramifications are down the road, but it's a significant investment in infrastructure at a minimum, and we're all going to bear that cost, whether you're in agriculture or you're not. You just have to decide if that's the cost you want to pay.